Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
The ring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son of a bitch, get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power and more. Black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms and comrade in battle. This is Sean Kwali. I'm happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hills and the smells of North America. As always, I count this a privilege. I count this a joy. I count this an esteemed honor to be able to talk to you from this platform that we know of and consider Black Power Radio. This is the official broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, the official broadcast of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. Be not deceived and be not dismayed. This is the official broadcast. We welcome you to, if it's your first time listening, second time listening, or if you've been a long time listener of ours, we welcome you back to the radio show of our Revolutionary Vanguard organization. We open up this show giving thanks to the Black God of our forefathers and foremothers that answers to many different names throughout the world, throughout the diaspora, throughout the landscape, 196,940,000 square miles. We give thanks to that one God for allowing us an opportunity to fight and resist oppression and to spread truth and righteousness. Giving thanks to all of our ancestors, freedom fighters, male and females, who have struggled in various times, points, and places throughout the world, who have given us government, who have given us law, who have given us the sciences, who have given us the mathematics, who have given us rulership, who have given us courtship, who have been kings and queens, and who have given us a worthy example. We thank all of our ancestors, far too many to name, but those who took lives and even gave lives. Can't forget those who jumped over the hulls of ships and didn't want to be slaves, went off into the Atlantic, into the mouths of sharks. We thank all of our ancestors, and we thank every single freedom fighter and Panther regiment that came before us, those who helped to keep our minds right and get our hearts right and get our spirits right and keep us tight. We give thanks to them. Every Panther regiment, no matter what time, no matter what side, no matter what part of the country they were in, no matter scattered or fractionalized, we give thanks. And we give thanks on this Wednesday broadcast. We give thanks for a beautiful, bold, bald-headed black man. We first give thanks for our upstart in Dallas, Texas in 1989. And everybody who organized to keep this new Black Panther Party going and keep make it established and for us to be able to fight today. And ultimately falling into the hands of a beautiful, bold, bald-headed black man, 100% unrelenting and uncompromising with the enemy, a brother, a soldier, a warrior who said that his purpose on this planet was to give your enemy, your 6,000-year-old enemy, the white man, and the pick power structure, hail from the cradle to the grave. And we have to bear witness that is exactly what he did. He fulfilled his mission, not reactionary, but intelligently, waking up black men and women all around this country and around the world to the true knowledge of ourselves, the knowledge of our history, the knowledge of our culture, the knowledge of our God, folkways and foreways, standing us up and taking us away from being coons and buffoons and shines and ham bones. I'm speaking of a man whom we affectionately know of and call him the Black Power General. That's the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And we have to give thanks no matter where you're at, what your station is in life, no matter where you come from, what your background is. You have to, if you're smart, give thanks for a brother who is raising the banner of Black Power, the mantle of Black Power. He's holding it high. He's keeping the standard up, and he's fighting the great fight. A man who I can say that if it were not for his dedication, I don't know how many of us would still champion the cause, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, like we do. I don't know how many of us would have been able to continue, although some of us may. I don't know in a mass level how many of us would understand the importance of revolutionary black nationalism and Pan-Africanism, as so many have given up the fight and they've fallen into integrationist categories and they've now wanted to be at ease with the white man. Some of you won't even say white and man anymore, white and woman anymore, and talk about the bourgeoisie ruling class. You won't even talk about them anymore. You won't even talk about those in the power structure. Many of you want ease. But this black man has fought the good fight and maintained the course and held the line since being a student activist out of Howard University and organizing on the campus of Howard University to get his law degree and going to take his law degree and be able to form Black Lawyers for Justice. And from forming Black Lawyers for Justice, he continued to move and ultimately now has risen almost and definitely by default, he say by default, he's risen to become the national chairman of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. I'm speaking of the warrior, lawyer, and five-star general, that consistent warrior and soldier and brother who has come to organize a sleeping mass of black men and women into a revolutionary fashion so we can take control of our divine destiny. I'm speaking of the attorney at war, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. I think every chapter of the new Black Panther Party, of course, and every single cell of that panther that's out there. We open up giving thanks, whatever your greeting is. Assalamu alaikum, hotep, shalom, shalom, shalaf yani. We say free the land, unite or perish. We say black laws for all black people, power to the people and black power, freedom or death. You're tuned in not to the Tea Party Radio or Democratic Radio or even Republican Radio. This is New Black Panther Radio. And our subject this afternoon, of course, as the Black Power General used to say and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz say, we won't be long, but we must be strong. Our subject today on Black Power Radio is the habitation of devils. Mystery Babylon, a habitation of devils. Can black power survive? Can black power, Pan-Africanism, can it survive? And can black people survive in this mystery Babylon that we know of as America? And we take our base, everything having balance, everything not just being political, everything not just being material, but things also being spiritual. We take our base from the scripture that it comes out of, coming out of that book that you know of as the Bible, from Revelation, the 18th chapter, where it talks about that she had become a habitation of devils. Now, I know many of us, some of us, have become disillusioned with spiritual understandings or preachers or whatnot, and I can understand. But what Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz has taught us to do, he's taught us to look at everything from a black theology perspective. That means that you look at everything from a perspective where you can see yourself and your people and your culture and your history in it. And so when we open up the book called Bible, hell, even in the very first chapter, before you even get off into all the way down to the end into Revelation, in the very first chapter, then Genesis, it opens you up in a setting called the Garden of Eden that is based right there in Africa. So from the outset, from the outstart, we're not talking about any European history. We're not talking about any whitewashed history. We're not talking about anything outside of that which relates to black people, Africans in America, you and me right here in the hills and smells of North America. So when we're talking about she has become a habitation of devils, we're talking about the landmass that we live in, that I call and we call the hills and smells of North America. Talking about America and how she is glorious in her own wealth, how she's all about some sport and play, how she has her ships going all over the world, running through all kinds of populations and nations on the earth, and she's setting up base all over the world. You can see America's ships, logos, dress, fashion, all of that all around the world. You can see her navies, her militaries, all of that all around the world. You can see the ships with guns and cannons and all kind of stuff all around the world. Ships covered with airplanes and carrying bombs and carrying gas and carrying all kind of stuff all around the world. And so what are we talking about? We're talking about ancient black men and women who foresaw the time that we're living in. The time that we are living in is a time of great trouble for many. It is a time of great peril. It is a time also of great confusion. And so according to what we have been told and taught and what we have studied, what was given and what was told from the Black Power General, and what is taught from Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, he teaches that this scripture is prophecy. That whenever you're talking about Bibles and Qurans and Pert M. Haruz, you're talking about prophecy. You're talking about stuff that was written down by some wise black men and women many, many years ago in the original text, but it had not necessarily happened yet at that time. That it was written in parables and similes and metaphor. That's right, Reverend. Your Bible is written in similes and parables and metaphors. You can't take everything so literal. Don't go into the Atlantic Ocean thinking that the ocean is going to part for you and you're going to be able to do that, Reverend. It's just not going to happen like that. We're talking about parting the Red Sea. We're talking about a metaphor. We're talking about something metaphorically happening. We're talking about also an allegory, something allegorically happening. We're talking about a sign and a symbol pointing you to something else that may not have happened right there at that particular time. And so the book is pointing you to a landmass with a captive people that is militarily strong, that has her ships and her navies and her fleets all around the world, and that it say it describes this landmass that it calls that mystery Babylon. It describes it as being a habitation of devil. It talks about a grievous destruction that awaits those who delight in making war. Now, we're going to have to go deeper into that as we go forward. But just take a look around at where you're at. Just take a look around at where we live at here in the hills and smells of North America. As we talked in the last broadcast, that the creed, supposedly the creed of this nation, is the land of the free and the home of the brave. But if you are black in America, black as I say, black and trapped in America, or if you are a African in the hills of North America, you already understand that that's a lie. You know, the babies understand that's a lie. So the book talks about a captive people who were under a cruel taskmaster, some call Pharaoh, under a cruel taskmaster who did not want to let the captive people go. And you get off into a figure in the book called Moses. Now, all of these names, of course, are just names that give identification to the person given the action. Doesn't mean that was the actual name. Don't want you all to get spooky. But it takes you to a figure in the book called Moses, who was supposed to go to the Pharaoh and to say to the Pharaoh, let my people go. And so in both Bible and in, and that's predominantly used by Christians, the Bible that's used by Christians and in the book that is used predominantly by the Muslims, the Quran, they both share the same story. Both share, and even the books used by those who study comedic science, Pert and Haru, the book coming forth by day and night, both share the story of captive people, people who have been captured and enslaved and have to go free. The Quran breaks it down like this. For those who understand the Quran and those who know the book of scripture for Muslims, in the 20th chapter, 71st verse, it talks about them opposing a Pharaoh that said that he would, if they tried to, as he say, take another god besides him or worship somebody else besides him, that he would, they say, cut off the hands, cut off the captive's hands, the captive people's hands on opposite sides, if they did not take him as the god and put down their god, the god of their forefathers and foremothers. Now, this is interesting because this same tactic was the same tactic that was used against the black man and black woman as slaves in the hells of North America, as we would be decapitated, our people decapitated, cut from both sides at different times, cut our hands and our arms ripped off of our bodies, legs ripped off of our bodies. This was the same tactic it was described that the Pharaoh said that he would use against the people of God. And so America, of course, is in the book. It's in the Bible. It's in the Quran. It's in these prophecies. But now the bigger question becomes, what do we do? What is our purpose? Because, hell, you and me, we're living here in the hells and smells of North America. It goes on to say, Babylon the Great is fallen. It's fallen and has become a habitation of devils and the hole of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now, here when we're talking on some birds, of course, it's not talking about a mean chickadee or, you know what I mean, a mean cardinal. We're talking about airplanes. We're talking about, like I said, the navies and the fleets. We're talking about things that fly. We're talking about military might wrapped up in parables and similes. And so here in the hells and smells of North America, you have every foul spirit and a cage. You already know that's talking about your penitentiaries here in the hells and smells of North America. You already know that every penitentiary and jail is full of foul spirits. Why? Because our people are captive there, unable to get free, have real freedom, at times express themselves and the spirit that the God has put in them, and there's no real rehabilitation. Hell, America delights in making prisons and penitentiaries and making more prisons than it makes institutions of learning. There are more of our people, 80% of our people, that are locked down in the penitentiaries and locked down in the jails and locked down in the prisons than you find on the campuses of the so-called learning institutions. Why? Because it's marketable. And they make money putting black men and women in the penitentiaries and in the jails. And so for those of you who are reformists and you like to plead to the establishment to do this or that with the prisoners, they have no intention of doing that. If they would willfully allow crack cocaine and drugs, chemical and biological warfare to permeate our communities and ravage our communities, why would you beg these same demons, these same devils, to stop that which is keeping them economically sound and economically rich and fat and elite? You have to bear witness that there is no intention on any agenda to change anything that's going on. America seems, I'm talking about as a corporation, seems to hate the doers of good and seems to take out those and stop those who do good. As we talked about the Martin Luther King Jr.'s, we talked about the Malcolm X's, we talked about the Black Panther movements of the 60s and SNCC and RAM and the UNIA and the Morris Science, all any organization. Doesn't matter. See, that's something that we do as a people. We set trip on organization, But this enemy doesn't set you. This enemy sees us as one mass. He sees us as one mass black movement, and that it represents a threat to whatever he or she is doing to maintain the power structure. And so evil and filth are the hour of the day in America. Evil and filth are the predominant practice in America. Never before have a people on the face of the earth become so delightful in evil practices like the white man and the white woman. Never before in the history of the total standing of this planet have you ever seen people so happy to do wrong and do evil and to take over things and to kill and to shed blood and to make evil happen. You've never seen this on the face of the earth up until, as the Black Power General taught her, Johnny come lately, straight crawling about the caves and hillsides of Europe, come and make trouble amongst the righteous people. Never before have you ever seen this type of practice. You didn't hear about this type of practice happening in Africa. You never heard about this happening in Kush and Ethiopia and Kemet. You never heard about this happening amongst the Euphrates. You never heard about this type of stuff that goes on in America happening over there. Why? Because we are two different people. And there's many of you out there that are preaching this multicultural, multinationalism. And you're preaching this with the intent to make our people believe that we are all the same people. But if we are all the same people, then how come all the same people are not catching all the same hell? I want you all to think about that. Why is it that we have to have a civil rights bill and a civil rights legislation and all of these organizations? If we were all the same people, brothers and sisters, if we were all the same people, we wouldn't need a new Black Panther Party. If we were all the same people, brothers and sisters, we would not need a Nation of Islam. We would not need a UNIA. We would not need an NAACP. We would not need a National Action Network. We would not need a Rainbow Push, because we wouldn't need any of that. None of that. Not one organization that pushes for the rights and needs and self-determination of our people. We wouldn't need it. You wouldn't need it because you'd be the same people. But the fact that the new Black Panther Party exists and other groups exist, no matter what their cause is, shows you right off the bat that we are not the same people. You don't hear other peoples fighting for their basic, what you call human rights, like you hear Black people fighting for that. Why is that? Because you're not even recognized in America. You're not even recognized in America. Even if they say in their law that certain things have been abolished, the covert practice is still here in America. The covert practice of when a black man or a black woman walks into a store that they immediately think that you're going to steal and be a criminal is still there. The covert practice of profiling you when you go to get a job based upon the way that your hair looks, the way that you talk, the way that you walk, and the way that you act is still here in America. Never before has this practice happened until we came into contact with our 6,000-year-old enemy. It has been our downfall as a people that we have been the most accepting of any people, any nationality in the world. That has been a major downfall of us. It doesn't matter if you rearrange our eyeballs and our sockets. Doesn't matter if you beat us down, like in the case of our now transcendent brother, Brother Rodney King. Doesn't matter if you cut open the black woman's womb and stomp on the head of the baby, the fetus that's inside of the womb. Doesn't matter if you miseducate us and Jim Crow us and black code us. Doesn't matter, because the God essence in our people is so deep that we'll find a way to say, I forgive you. I forgive, and all is well. Can't we, as Rodney say, can't we all just get along? But this is killing us as a people. This willingness to want to get together and be along with everybody who is not along with us and doesn't respect us and doesn't respect our women and our elders and our children and our community, this is killing us as a people. We're so happy now to be integrated into this society, but we don't reap the benefits of a people who are really integrated into the society. We're so happy now to be able to go to church or go to synagogue, go to mosque with everybody now, but we're not being taught about our Africanness. We're not being taught about our culture. We're not being shown who we really are in the world. We're still being miseducated in 2012. And the educational paradigm still reflects the mindset of white supremacy. And now they're so bold, now they're saying that they want to even destroy, even more than they've already destroyed. They want to destroy the what they call the pyramids and the Sphinx. And that's a Greek term, but they want to destroy basically all of the African monuments or the original Aboriginal monuments and the relics of our people. Why is there such a focus now that they're blaming on the Muslims over there? Why is there such a focus now to want to destroy the Sphinx and to destroy the relics and the libraries and the writings that are over there in Africa? And why is there so much pressure being applied by certain forces even here in the West? It is because what is written over there in our original libraries, it contradicts and it destroys what you have been taught in the public education system. What is written over there, it contradicts and destroys what you have been told on the college plantation system, college university system. What is written over there destroys and contradicts everything that we have been brought up on that is anti-African. And so there is a concerted effort now to make sure that any light or any type of remembrance that can get into your black minds and activate the melanin in your mind is removed so that you can never get up and do for yourself. History is best qualified to reward the research we're taught. And so if history showed that they did that before to make us slaves and to cut off the light and cut off the passageway to knowledge and freedom, then if they're making that move again, they want to make us and keep us in the situation of being slaves right now today. They got us in what we call self-check. So many of us don't even want to read. So many of us don't even want to tune into every broadcast of Black Power Radio and hear something other than what's being told on NPR News. You don't want to tune into Black Power Radio and hear something alternative than what's being told on CBS News or Fox News. You don't want to hear nothing alternative if it don't come from a white man's mouth. But everything that you've been told from their mouth and from their educational system has been a lie in the first place. These are the same people that told you were three-fifths of a human being and that you were not worthy to have any rights that they were bound to respect. And so this is the backdrop that has built this country. And our people going through civil rights movements, going through even early black power movements, through many bloody battles and confrontations with the law and jail and bail and all kind of stuff. Just to do that, many had to almost damn near go insane just to be able to get a bite to eat. And so you say, well, that's a distant past, some say. Some say that's a distant past. We don't live like that anymore. We don't have to go through that anymore. That was 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years ago. But that's why Dr. Huey P. Newton would teach from the Black Panther Party, National Minister of Defense. He would teach that the revolution is always in the hands of the young, brothers and sisters. He would say the revolution is always in the hands of the young, because as we get older, it is a natural inclination for those who get older or to develop in age to begin to slow down, to begin to become more what you call conservative, to not be as radical, to not be as fiery, to not be as, you know, as they call it, angry, or to, you know, that's a natural inclination. And that's why the adage says that you have old men for war and old women for war and young men and women, old men and women for counsel and young men and women for war. Because as we get older, it is a natural inclination to want to settle down and to slow down, and you're getting into what you believe is some of your latter years of your life. And so there is a concerted effort to keep the young away from revolutionary tactics, revolutionary ideas, to keep the young away from uniting around the principles of black nationalism, or uniting around the principles of a united Pan-Africanism. uniting around the principles of doing for self and self-determination, there is a serious effort that is paid attention to 24 hours a day through print media, television media, and radio media to make sure your young babies never, ever be anything other than what is projected on the TV screen. That is why we never see any positive black and female images. When we're talking about those over there, quote-unquote, called a Muslim Brotherhood, who talking about destroying the images, that is a reflection of what's happening in America on television. While you never see any positive black images on your news and on your media, it is because if you ever see anything positive about yourself, you will understand that the images that have been taught to us was a guaranteed lie, 100% lie. They got this talk going around about zombies and people eating bath salts and all this type of stuff, and it's with the same stuff that they told us before, when they wanted to enslave you and make you think that it was okay where you was at while you were suffering. They would tell you that when we found you with bones in your noses. We found you swinging from trees saying ooga booga, eating juniper roots. They would tell you that we found you, you were hitting each other over the head with clubs, and you were beating your women over the head with clubs. This is what they told the black man and the black woman. And so today they'll say that you're acting like zombies, you're eating each other, you're just a predator to white people. You're just going to go to some white man and white woman and just bite their face off. That's what they say. They say because you're high on bath salts. But the young man who they allege even ate the bath salts to do what he did in the first place, the autopsy proved that he didn't even have any bath salts in him at all. We don't know what the hell happened in that situation. Show some grainy video, you can't see nothing going on. Next thing you know, you see a black man dead and a white man laying on the ground. You don't know what the hell is going on. This media is a part of the trick. And so I'm saying that to say you gotta read between the lines. You gotta be able to look beyond what you're being taught on a daily and consistent basis. That is why Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz and the new Black Panther Party are pointing you to a knowledge of yourself. We're doing what our ancient ancestors would teach about, which is to know yourself. Because if you know yourself, you can identify yourself. And you can say, even in these times, that ain't us. That ain't what happened. That's not really the truth. Many of you can feel it in your soul. You can feel it when you hear certain things come across the radio. And when you hear certain things come across the television. When you read certain things in the newspaper, even if you don't know all of the facts, you know in your mind, in your heart, in your soul, in your spirit, something is wrong. And so we know as a people that something is wrong with the black community. We already know. We may not know the exact root of it, but we know as a people, I don't care how high you are or low you are, you know something is wrong. Many of us just don't know how to fix it. But I'm here to tell you again that the issue is that you're living, and I'm living in a habitation of devils. Living in a habitation of devils, quoted in the scripture as a mystery Babylon. Mystery, of course, means, according to the interpretation, something that's unknown, obscured, concealed, a secret, and kept to oneself. Okay? And so all of this history and wisdom and truth hidden and locked in parables and similes in the book, and we don't know what we're reading. We don't know what we're reading in the Pert in Haru many times. You don't know what you're reading in the Holy Quran many times, because even in these spiritual institutions, our minds have been fixed to look for white people. Our minds have been fixed to look for a white savior to come out of the sky somewhere and save us, and we're not looking at ourselves to save ourselves. The same thing is true in politics. We have been pushed to a position to where now we wait for a political party given to us by our enemy to answer the issues of our people. And that's why we've been smashing and pushing so hard on the Democratic and Republican Party. Many times you'll hear us lay it out for you on the Republican side. You'll hear us lay it out for you on the Republican side, but not enough on the Democratic side, so we had to give it a balance and let you know that the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are both two sides of the same coin. And at one time, the Democratic Party was all the way a white party. It was straight up a white party. And black people at that time went to the Republican Party. And they switched. Okay? And so I'm saying this to say, the point I'm making here is it's the same party. It's about who's in control, who's controlling the power structure, who's controlling the laws being passed. That's what it's about. And so if this oppression that is happening to black people and Africans in America is coexisting side by side with the Democratic and the Republican Party, that means it's sanctioned by both. There is no political party that could see a people who have been robbed and spoiled and mentally destroyed like you and I and would allow it to happen if it did not serve the interests of the establishment. There's no such thing. Even when you're talking about police and paramilitary forces, you're talking about an ideology which springs from both of these political mechanisms. The police and the paramilitary are the enforcers of the political establishment, the bourgeoisie ruling class. They are the enforcers. Some Democrats, some Republicans, the same ones that are beating the Rodney Kings and shooting the Sean Bells and killing the Anthony Hills and the ones that are doing the things in the street that they're doing to us, these are Democrats and Republicans with very few independents. And even if it's an independent force in America, it's a weak independent force in America. If you go to the Black Panther, the New Black Panther newspaper, you go to the New Black Panther newspaper and read what we're talking about, meeting the candidates. You read where we give you an editorial on all the candidates that ran. We give you an editorial from top to bottom on the ones who, as we'll call the biggest devil to the lowest devil. But the end result, the end analysis is they're all devils. America is a habitation of devils, a habitation of beasts, a ruling class and a ruling circle of beasts and demonic forces that work to keep black men and women in the conditions that we're in. This is not conspiracy theory. That's where they get you. Some of you would like to be able to call us conspiracy theorists and just dismiss it, like what we're saying has no relevance because it's just some conspiracy theory. Well, I say this to you. Since there are 22 to 40 million of us who were originally in Africa, and now we're here in the hells and smells of North America, not by our own choice, but by a planned design, then we automatically understand that this is not a conspiracy theory, it is a real reality. Since there are around 80% of us locked down in the penitentiaries and the jails and the prison industrial complex, black people, black men and women, your family, my family, in the jails, we understand it's by design. That's not a conspiracy theory, that's a real reality. Okay, and so that's why we are introducing you, brothers and sisters, in the New Black Panther Party and throughout the world to revolutionary black nationalism and Pan-Africanism. It is a mechanism and an ideology and a process, even more than that, that has been around for a long time, but has taken different formations, shades, and hues. It has taken different shapes, and so we have to properly identify it, because you have some, even on the African continent, who preach Pan-Africanism, but they become bourgeois Pan-Africanists. They only preach Pan-Africanism to draw the people in to be able to serve their own petty interests. They're not there to unite the people on the landmass, on our mother continent, into one army, one people, one common cause. They're there to get rich. They're black capitalists. They're petty bourgeoisie pushing Pan-Africanism. We call them Pan-African Toms. So you have Pan-African Toms out there. You have black nationalist Toms out there who are out there preaching and teaching and doing whatever they're doing about talking about a knowledge of self and the land of our own and economic of our own, but in the back of their mind and in the back of their plans, it is only to enrich themselves. It is only to make a profit off of a suffering people. It is only to be a petty bourgeoisie. So we believe, brothers and sisters, that we have to unite as a people, that in this habitation of devils, that we have to unite as a people no matter where we are, because our number one weakness as a people is that we are disunited and disjointed, and we don't see a common struggle amongst ourselves. The fact that we have gone through the same thing for over 400 years and have, through Willie Lynchism, reduced it to individualism shows that we are dead to the knowledge of ourselves and dead to the knowledge of our culture. The fact that a brother on the East Coast can suffer the same thing as a brother or sister on the West Coast shows that we're going through the same struggle. If you go to Harlem today, or if you go to Detroit today, or if we go to Jacksonville today, or you come to anywhere, any city in America, and you go to the black community, you will see black people doing the same thing. No matter where they are, no matter where we're at, you will see us doing the exact same thing. Some of us standing on the corner, some of us walking aimlessly, some of us trying to go to school. We're doing the same thing no matter where we are, right here in North America. So that shows you that we got the same people going through the same struggle, okay? And the same thing that's happening here is happening over there too. It's happening in Mauritania. It's happening over there in the Congo. It's happening, the same thing, because Africa is a colonized continent. Just like we are a colonized people here, we suffer today from what is called in our 10-point program, neocolonialism. Neo meaning new, we suffer from a new age colonialism or a new age entrapment. We're suffering from that right now. Africa has an ancient colonialism placed upon it, an old world, old school ancient colonialism placed upon it that was fought by so many others, so many like Kwame Nkrumah and others who fought against that and apartheid and other mechanisms. And it also suffers from a neocolonialism, where the neocolonialism is now the black face or the black man or the African ruler who is the puppeteer of Western imperialism. If you don't know what none of that means, better look that up real quick and find out. But we're going to teach you. We in the New Black Panther Party will learn. If you don't know, you will learn. It is a must that you learn, not just in the Panther Party, but just as a black man and a black woman here in North America, that you learn what these mechanisms mean. You must learn what imperialism is. You must learn what capitalism is. You must learn what apartheid is and what artificial borders are. You must learn what Zionism is. See, that's another trick bag where they make you think that if, you know, anytime you talk against the so-called Jews, they would always come at the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz about this cry of anti-Semitism. And we charged back and said they are practicing anti-Semitism. Because how could we be anti-Jewish when actually the actual spiritual process of the Hebrew faith and all of that comes from African spirituality? So we're not anti, quote unquote, Jewish. We're anti-Zionist. There's a difference. But we are definitely against those who, as the books say, who say they are Jews and are not Jews, who, as it says, they are from the synagogue of Satan. That's another subject for another day. But I'm saying that to say this: we must know what these terms mean. We must stop hearing these words being preached and talked about on Black Power Radio and read in our newspapers and read throughout our networks, and you don't know what they mean. It doesn't do you any good to not know what imperialism is, and imperialism is ruling you 24 hours a day. The fact that they can take you out of your car even after you have given your rights and all this type of stuff, if you don't know what imperialism means, you can't identify what's going on. You can't identify what's happening when you don't know what colonialism and neocolonialism. You can't even identify it as a black man and a woman in North America. You don't even know. You're just thinking it's some kind of bad luck accident or something, or that somebody just don't care about somebody just having a bad day. No, it is a systematic program. It is a systematic program that has been put in every place of black leadership. And any time that black people gather together to do something for self, the program is put in place. When there's this debate over Willie Lynch was debated upon because they were trying to figure out if Willie Lynch was a real person or, you know, whatever. Willie Lynch gave in the letter a system, a policy, a way to rule, a way to govern, which would perpetually keep black people, Africans, in a system of servitude forever until, he say, a phenomenon had to occur. Okay? And from that system, they went to cut off every source of light, meaning every source of knowledge that would ever point you to where the system came from and who you really was and who I really was, to make us to stop falling into the traps of the system. Our brothers and sisters here in the States, we fall into these traps because we don't know who we are. We just have no self-esteem, no self-knowledge, no self-love. We just hate ourselves. And so we keep doing the same thing over and over again, in jail, out of jail. We try to get a job. We get fired. We try to have a relationship. We mess up the relationship. All this, the same cycle, generation after generation after generation, because we have been introduced to a habitation of devils and devilishment that we have taken on as our true way, and it has nothing to do with us at all. See, America tells us on a daily and consistent basis she don't want nothing to do with us. But at the same time, she has to have us, because we were brought here as a people on an economic basis. And for all of you who talk this economic talk, you better know what you're talking about. I hear some of us that we try to be funny, I guess, and try to say, when you hear Dr. Shabazz talking about black power, some of you will say, well, no, what we need is green power. You sound like the capitalist. When you look at our history and what sprung up out of the what they call I want to say the resurrection, but it's a different term for it, the Reformation period, that when we had banks and we had stores and when we had what you call the Black Wall Streets in Tulsa, Oklahoma, we had plenty of black dollars. We had our own mayors, had our own governors, had our own sheriffs, had our own hospital. We had a lot of stuff that was ours, okay? But what we did not have was a military. Look that up. We did not have a military and a military infrastructure in place that could defend the economic process and could defend the political processes that black people had gained or had undergone during that time. And right here in America, not in Beirut, not in Hiroshima, not anywhere, right here in America, Tulsa, Oklahoma, American imperialism, once again, the white man dropped a bomb, a straight-up bomb on Black Wall Street and bombed you out of your black economics and bombed us out of our black economics. Just bombed the hell out of our black economics. You don't think they'll do that. That ain't the only time. It won't be the last time. Anytime you begin to make some serious progress, they will bomb the hell out of you. They will arrest the hell out of you. They'll shoot the hell out of you if you don't have a proper military infrastructure, an African military infrastructure that would defend black people. Some of you get scared of the new Black Panther Party when we're talking revolutionary talk and talking about defending ourselves by any means necessary. But what good does it do to get scary when every time we've made progress, you have been militarily advanced on and defeated? It's better to fall in and to defend yourself and your community and the community defend itself than to be wiped out. Hell, as peaceful as King was, his face was blown off in Memphis, Tennessee. The Black Panthers of the 1960s, as peaceful as many of them was and as many good programs as they gave, they were militarily infiltrated and defeated right here in America. We have to learn the lessons of history. And so we believe that the problems that our brothers and sisters are facing in Africa is the same problem that we're facing here in the hells and smells of North America. What that entails is that we have to unite. We have to come together if we're facing the same problems. We also believe that those who are the heads of the independent African states, that you should be the shepherds of African people everywhere, whether they're still at home, here on the mother continent, or they're scattered abroad. That those of you in Africa and even in America who are owning your own stuff, you should be teaching and training those of us who don't have how to do. The reason why, I think in my estimation, why more of our people don't own land and don't own homes and don't own, things that we can call our own, is because many of us straight up, for whatever the reason, don't know how to do it. And those of you who have it, you're taking on, in many cases, not all cases, some cases, a bourgeoisie attitude that I got mine, so you get yours. See, again, growing up in a habitation of devils, that's the attitude of a capitalist. I got mine. You got to get yours. But that's anti-African. That is not the way that African people conducted themselves before we were tampered with. We gave to the world what you call communalism. What they later broke down, they called it communism. Marx and all of them, they took it and gave it the term communism, but it comes from African communalism or intercommunalism, where what I have, you have. You would hear it come out of the Nation of Islam practice and other areas where they would say half of my soup is your soup. Okay, so it's called African communalism, African intercommunalism, that they later broke down into different parts and parcels and gave it different names. But what hurt the white man in terms of trying to take African communalism was that the white man does not know how to share. The white man, as a power structure, will not share what it has. The white power is a dominatory, predatory power. It is a dominatory, predatory power that does not know how to share with other peoples of the world. Okay, and so that's what hurt them and why it never works with them, and why whenever you talk about African communalism or when you're talking about giving to your people, they always say, no, that's wrong. Can't do that. That's a threat to humanity, because they know that if we have things equally, if things are equal in America, if you have a real equality in America, then you don't have a ruling elite. You don't have people who, as you call them, are 1%, and they have all this money. They have millions and billions of dollars in bonuses, and you have all these people in what you call the poor and the working class that are struggling to get crumbs just to feed their families. You don't have that in a righteous African society. You didn't have that there. You only had that when we got involved with plantation politics and trying to be a part of the American dream. Our brothers and sisters and the leaders that are there in Africa are suffering the same thing. And we who are in America, we are the long-lost brothers and sisters, make no mistake about it, of the African man and the African woman there in our mother continent. Okay, as Minister Malcolm X used to always teach, just because you put kittens in an oven, that doesn't make them biscuits. Okay, just because you grew up here. Now, some of you, some of us are really happy as a people. We're really happy to claim this patriotism, you know. We're really happy to, you know, some of us wave the red, the white, and the blue and have that flying, you know, in front of our houses. Even Eldridge Cleaver in his latter years would fly the red, the white, and the blue in front of his house and said he was a Republican and all this, okay? Some of us are really happy to have this patriotism, but just because you grow up here, that doesn't mean that you're a part of this, all right? Doesn't mean, what I mean is I'm talking about the corporate structure. You got to make a separation. As we're talking about a habitation of devils, you got to make a separation between the corporate structure and the landmass. The aboriginal black man and black woman traveled the breadth and scope of the planet Earth and civilized many of the uncivilized lands and conquered many of the lands and set up shop in many of the lands in peace with the original red man in certain areas and the original brown man in certain areas and even the original quote-unquote yellow man in certain areas, which was originally a black man with squinty eyes. Look that one up. We were in peace with every nationality on the planet Earth, okay? We were here in the landmass. But what happened when you're talking about George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and what they called the founding fathers, these were criminals who were in England, in Europe. They were over there. They were over there as criminals, and the queen of that day released the criminals from the jails and let them out of jail on like a pardon, basically, and banished them to come over here to this side. And what they did was they came over to this side and conquered this side with military force and through technology and criminal tactics and killed off the people that were here who would resist them. And those who wouldn't resist, they made them work for them under free labor, okay? It's a criminal settler colony. See, that's in your 10-point program, the new Black Panther Party, a criminal settler colony. And so they set up a corporation based upon bloodlines and family relations and economic interests. And when they set up their declarations of independence, it had nothing to do with the freedom of black men and black women or black people at all. Had nothing to do with what they call later emancipation and this free democracy for blacks. Had nothing to do with that at all. It had everything to do with maintaining the status quo and maintaining the power structure and maintaining rule and dominance over the darker peoples of the planet Earth. And so we got to know where we are. We have to know who we are. And at times we have to be reminded who we are and where we are. As the black man and black woman awakens today, as we come alive today, because we are coming up, we are raising up. And the more we raise up, the more the power structure tries to flex its muscle to put us back down. See, so you got to watch the signs. Watch when the black man and black woman make strides to get up and to shake and to rattle and to, as the books say, come together like the dry bones, you will see that the power structure, those in the infrastructure, will begin to flex and to make moves on the leadership and the organization and show its police might. You want to know why there's so much police brutality? There's police brutality on an increase because there's so many young black boys and girls who, on another side, have developed a revolutionary spirit to resist. Okay? We are the most revolutionary people anywhere in the world. No matter whether we are conscious or unconscious, no matter where you find us in the world and in this country even, you will find that wherever there's oppression, that we've always managed, brothers and sisters, to resist the oppression. It is in us innately. You oppress us, you put us down, you try to keep us out, we're going to fight back. We're going to resist. We're going to do what we got to do to get you up off of us. That is in us instinctively. So as we're waking up, we find ourselves in a strange land that has rejected us, just totally abandoned us, used us, abused us, and treated us like, you heard Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz talk about a couple of broadcasts ago, treated us like the prodigal son, okay? And so we have to reach out to revolutionary organizations all across this country. And I encourage all of us to reach out, number one, to the New Black Panther Party, because we are the organization, the revolutionary organization with the political understanding of what's going on. And not only that, to understand what's going on, we understand what to do in these times, and we're active. It's an active organization. Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz demands that everybody in this membership, in the cadre, in our chapters, that you're active. If you're not active, you can't be a part of this. This is not a sit-down organization, a sit-down movement that we're going to sit down and pontificate and talk about how much we go and do and what we should do and what should be. No, hell no. That's not what this is. This is that we organize, we scientifically organize, put our plans together, weigh the pros and the cons, and go for it in a scientific fashion to get some revolutionary results. That's what this is. Okay, and so when you hear us talking about Pan-Africanism, know very well what we're talking about. Clearly, we're talking about reaching out and linking up with our brothers and sisters across the continent. Across the continent. We were the ones, our people were the ones, who were forcibly put in chains and taken from the mother continent. And now we spent over 300 to 400 years in America suffering the most inhumane forms of treatment, both physical and psychological, the most inhuman forms of physical and psychological tortures imaginable has happened to your people and happening to you and me right now. Okay? And during all these years, the world has witnessed our men, our women, our children being attacked by the police, and even some few years back being bitten by police dogs and, you know, beat over the head by police billy clubs. The blood washed down the sewers by fire agencies and whatnot. All of this was done to our people, done and continues to this day to our people. We have suffered the most inhumane atrocities that have ever been inflicted on us, on a people, by the American governmental authorities. The police themselves, for no other reason other than to flex authority and to take a black life and to gain respect and rank amongst their own, take black life. You chide the gangs, the so-called gangs, in the urban cities for trying to gain rank. But when you look at it on a holistic scale, they're only imitating their captors. They're only imitating the colonizers. They're only imitating those who they see the example from. And so as the police agencies work to gain rank in their fraternal orders by taking black life, you see it reflected as a subculture in the so-called gangster attitude or gangster mentality of the black man and black woman on the streets. You have black men and women that are just murdered in cold blood for no reason in the black community. Just shot down, not even doing anything, just minding their own business and minding our own business, just shot down, murdered in cold blood. Just attacked like you're in the midst of a bunch of ravenous rabid wolves. We lose life and limb in our own community, but where did that come from? Where did that attitude come from? Where did that disposition come from? Who taught us how to hate ourselves? Who taught us how to murder ourselves? Who taught us how to kill ourselves? And who was it that originally called us nigger in the first place? You got an African word called Naga. N-A-G-A, Naga. It's a royal word. Talks about some royalty. Naga. And they would and the European would hear, the white man would hear the Africans call each other Naga. And this beast had so much disdain and so much distrust and so much anger at the royal black man and black woman that he would growl and put a G on it and say Nigga. Huh? We would say Naga. A royal word. Look it up. But they would have so much hatred for the black man and the black woman, they would say, nigger. And to this day, they still growl it out. And so our people, on a reactionary response to take the sting out of what the white man flipped from a royal word to a negative word, took and started saying nigger. See, it's a mix of naga and that G or that nigger that the white man put in there. It's a mix. We started saying nigger. And then you had those that were defining. I'm not here to make an argument on whether it's right or whether it's wrong. I'm just trying to talk to you about the psychological damage that we have been inflicted and been forced upon, that is enforced upon us in this habitation of devils. The suffering that we have received, your brothers, your sisters, your mothers, your fathers, your uncles, your aunties, all have suffered tremendous inhumanities here in America. So no matter how you look at it, our problem is your problem. We are interlinked one with the other. And no matter how much they get independence in other parts of the world, or they get it on even the mother continent, unless the issue in North America is addressed, no black man and black woman will ever be free. Why do I say that? Because the nature of neocolonialism, the nature of imperialism, period, is to dominate. And that's why any true revolutionary knows that wherever imperialism exists or wherever colonialism exists, it has to be dismantled. It's like a cancer. It's like a disease. Anytime you have any aspect of imperialism or colonialism left, as we go to the top of the hour, anytime you have any of that left, you will have the same circumstances over and over again, the same oppression. That's why, as we talked before about our people doing the same thing in every part of America. Why? Because we are a colonized people operating on the same premise. Our problem is your problem. We have the same problem. Africa has the same problem as the Africans in America here in the hells and smells of North America. We will never be fully respected as a people until we solve our own problems. We will never be recognized as few human beings, as free human beings, unless we are forced to make others respect us as real human beings. We would never be able to get the things that we need until this enemy knows that we are willing to do anything to get the things that we are supposed to have. It's not a nigger problem, as they say. It ain't even an American problem. It's a world problem. It is a world problem. The black world has to defend itself. It's a darn shame that anywhere you go now where black exists, you are facing the issues of white supremacy. You can go to beautiful Johannesburg. You can go to Johannesburg in Africa. Go on in Johannesburg and you will see blue-black women, blue-black sisters, beautiful blue-black sisters who have put blue contacts in their eyes and have tried to perm their hair and to look as much like a white woman as they possibly can. You can go on into Mauritania in certain areas. You can go on into, any of our areas. Go in there and you will find the influence of Western imperialism, U.S. imperialism, white supremacy, right there on the mother continent, right there in blue-black Africa, right in the Sudan, right there. You'll see it. They didn't grow up over here. They didn't grow up watching the Disney Channel and all that stuff that we watch. What happened? It is a global reach. The habitation of devils that has become a cage and a file for every filthy bird. The bird has flown all around the world. And it is a global reach with the head of the snake being right here where you and I live in the hills of North America. Right here. This is the manufacturing center. Right now in this diaspora of time, this is the manufacturing center of the evils of the world. It comes from right here where we're at. The things that are permeating in the world, the evils, the devilishment that is going on in the world, the heartbeat of it is right here in the hells and smells of North America. Hell, the wolf and the fox are both here in America. They're both here in America, both enemies to the other creatures, the rabbit. They're both in the canine family. That's why we don't make no distinction. You're talking about Democrat and Republican. We don't make that kind of distinction because you're in the same family. Even the blacks who have aligned themselves, you have a few who try to hang in there and try to be proactive as best they can. But one thing that you must understand when talking about the system is that the system of the white man, either you totally remove it or it changes you. Changes you. Either you totally remove it or you are forced by the system to capitulate in it. Even some of our elder Panthers, our OG, old guard Panthers, who have gone on into reactionary politics, many of them have gotten quiet on the black issue. So many of them who were strong in the early movements of the black power movement, the early starts of the black power movement, they were so radical and so anti-everything wrong against our people. Now you see them in the reactionary politics of the white man, and now they're quiet. You don't even hear them challenging the issues anymore. It is because they have been shifted and moved and shackled by the system, shackled even more importantly by white supremacy, because it's even bigger than saying a system. I'm giving you the system so you know the mechanism. But shackled by white supremacy and white people, they're shackled. The wolf and the fox are both enemies of this humanity of black people. And they're both canine. And they both humiliate and manipulate and annihilate their victims. Okay? The Democratic Party and the Republican Party both do the same thing to black people. Both do the same thing. Helen, even the, as I said, the so-called independent forces, when you get these choices like a Ron Paul, it's the same thing. They play like garter snakes, and they're really cobras. Play like garter snakes. Play like you harmless. And you have the same elitist white supremacist agenda that the rest have. The wolf and the fox are both the same. And so, hell, if you, the leaders in America, if you would charge other nations with international crimes against humanity, then we in the hells and smells of North America have every right to charge you with crimes, international crimes against humanity and crimes against black people in the hells and smells of North America. Right here, black people are the most criminalized people, and we are the most victimized people by a real criminal. We must begin, brothers and sisters, to defend ourselves by meeting every action against our people with an equal reaction or action. An equal action or reaction. We must begin to retaliate, meeting any kind of violence with self-defensive violence. I'm telling you what it says, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a limb for a limb. Okay? And if those who don't want that say they don't want that, they'll show that. But hell, they didn't come into Africa talking about we want peace. They came in with some guns and some Bibles, and they said, if you don't take this Bible, you're getting this gun. And many times after they took the Bible, they still gave them the letter of the gun. Okay? That's why Dr. E.P. Newton talks about the gun not being revolutionary, but being a revolutionary tool. This white man has used that gun. This white man has used that gun to take over lands and force policy on people. And also used ideology and used books to take over land and to force policy and a way of rulership. Again, that is why right now Africa is under conflict. It is under conflict and trying to maintain control and maintain identity. That's why the African in America is under conflict and trying to maintain a sense of control and trying to maintain some type of identity. And the public is being whipped up on a daily and consistent basis by the press. The press is whipping you up on a daily and consistent basis and trying to get you working and get you going and draw you into some kind of sympathy with white America. Now, they run these commercials on you. All these little commercials they run on you to try to make you feel sympathetic and make you sympathize with the white public. And then get you to give some kind of support to the white public and the establishment and help you to support whatever criminal action they're getting ready to get involved in. This is what they're doing. They're getting so many of you brothers and sisters ready to support criminality and to blindly follow anybody who says that they're for you, even if they don't show it. Even if somebody happens to look like you, as we talked about neocolonialism, a new colonialism. Neocolonialism is a system that paves the way for a black face to rule under with white power and white control. And so even those who look like us, the press will use and whip up to garner all the once slaves together, all black Africans in America together, and say, this is the one you should support. This is the one you should go for. This is the one you should cast your vote for. Even if he doesn't have a proven track record, or she doesn't have a proven track record, even if they lie to you repeatedly over and over and over again, the press will help and say, hey, this is who you should vote for. And so what do? Foolishly, after hearing this so many times over and over and over again, you go stand in line to cast your vote. You go stand in line to cast your vote, not even knowing what you're voting for. Hell, it's criminal. On the news, when something happens in your towns, they'll talk about a black-on-black crime. They're quick to show a black face on the news, quick to say it was a black family, a black man, a black youth that did this and did that. But if it's a white family, oftentimes they won't even say the nationality of the individual or the family. They'll just say something happened, a murder happened, something such a street. But when it comes to the black man and the black woman, you're quick to be criminalized. You're quick to be painted like a savage. Overseas, they're quick to call people who are fighting against UN sanctions and fighting against another form of imperialism, they're quick to call them pirates. When many of them are just men, the Somalis and others, who are just men who are going to get food and bread for their families. I'm going to take a call, but they're just going to get food and bread for their families, and they're criminalized, and we're taking the bait in America and listening to these terms and accepting the terms that were given to us by our open enemies. Okay, so you hear these terms, the cannibals, the savages, the zombies, the this and the that. And what it does is it lends sympathy so that when you see somebody like a Sean Bell or a Troy Davis assassinated and murdered before your eyes, you don't have any outcry. You think that the new Black Panther Party is crazy, off base, off center. You think Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz is wrong because we're telling you to organize around black issues, and you come at us and say, well, what about the white man? How come the white man can't be involved? Well, what about this one? How come this one, the brown man over here, can't be involved like this? No, no, we're telling you to organize for black people. We're saying straight up, that, of course, we say in our program, the same rabbit dog that bit us, bites them too, the brown, the red, and the yellow, but we're telling black people must organize for themselves. And even you pro-Panthers out there, the ones who are so who are so romantic about the Panthers of the 60s, and I say romantic because many of you romanticize about it and don't know the facts of it all. If the Panther formation of the 1960s was still operational above ground today, as taught by Dr. Huey P. Newton, if a white man came to the office in 1966 and asked to join the Black Panther Party, he or she would be rejected. They were not allowed to have membership in the Black Panther Party. They were not allowed to be on the rolls of the Black Panther Party. Yes, they formed alliances through Eldridge Cleaver, Peace and Freedom Alliance through Eldridge Cleaver for financial purposes, and them white folks would finance their posters and their flyers and whatever else, but they were not allowed to have membership. So for those of you buying that bait, like the new Black Panther Party is so off base from the Black Panther parties of the 1960s, I want you to do your research and understand well that what the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad gave us was built upon the foundation of the Nation of Islam Muslim program, which is what the Black Panther Party built their program from, and also the UNIA's program, Marcus Garvey's 10-point platform, built also upon the principles of the Ngazu Saba. Okay? And so you have a mixture there, a 10-point platform of the new Black Panther Party, of UNIA, Nation of Islam, Black Panther Party 1966. You got also the Ngazu Saba, and then you got some other stuff. You have a healthy mix, a healthy balance of faith and fighting, spirituality and revolution, and it's all-inclusive. That's why you cannot beat what the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad gave. There were so many Panther regiments that sprung up even before I was in the new Black Panther Party. This organization is only 20-something years old, like 22 or so years old. It's not that old. There were many that came up even before us, but have not lasted this long. It is because what the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad gave was a critical analysis of not only the Black Panther Party's 10-point program, the 10-point program of the Nation of Islam, the UNIA's program, but he gave a critical analysis of the time that we were living in then and where we were going. And what he understood was that there had to be a balance and that we had to have a strong enough teaching and a strong enough program that would pull us up from the mud of white supremacy and the grave of the white power structure. When somebody is sick, you don't stop giving them the proper healing treatments and medicines to heal the illness. You keep them on the regimen. And if it gets worse, if they fall further into a death state or paralysis or sickness or illness, you have to increase the dosage. Okay? And so some of you, you've given up on black power and black nationalism and Pan-Africanism, and you feel like now because we're living in an quote-unquote integrated society, there's no need for Pan-Africanism and black nationalism, but you're dead wrong. See, you should be turning up the heat on on this power structure, turning up the heat on imperialism, turning up the heat on capitalism, turning up the heat on sexism, turning up the heat on racism, turning up the heat on Zionism, turning up the heat on everything anti-African. That's why the stance that the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad took and the stance that Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz takes, that's why in some cases it's even a stronger stance than even the patterns of the 1960s. I'm talking about programmatically a stronger stance that sometimes even some of them, not some of them understand it all the way when you talk to them, but some of them don't even understand it because we're living in a rougher time. And as Dr. Khalid Muhammad talked about in his last speech on this planet, enough Negro stuff. Revolution is the only solution. He talked about that everything in this planet is rough. These are rough times we're living in, he said. And everything is rough except you. Everything on this planet is gearing up for survival and making sure that it has something to call its own except the poor, pitiful black man and black woman here in the hells and smells of North America. We are the only people that is running around milly mouth with our hands stuck out talking about, can I have, can you give me, can I eat? We're the only people doing that. And at the same time, the very same instance, we're being criminalized and hospitalized and sent down into the cemetery. And if we're not sent there, you're going into the white man's military to fight for a so-called democracy that your people do not enjoy here in the States. See, this kind of talk used to go on. And then when Hoover and COINTELPRO saw us talking and organizing and moving and coming together, then they hit us with crack cocaine. Then they hit us with chemical warfare and biological warfare, and it completely decimated the African family, the black family. See, same thing with HIV and AIDS. They talk about the HIV and AIDS epidemic that's allegedly on the continent of Africa. And I say allegedly because many of those facts that they quote as facts for HIV and AIDS in Africa, they're not substantiated. They're not even real facts. It's scare tactics. Again, the same mindset of making you think that everybody on your mother continent is savage and cannibal and sick, that's the same thing that's going on. Okay? So it's the same scare tactic. We're being criminalized all around the planet, and we are the only people, brothers and sisters, that are not scientifically fighting back. Okay? Until 1959, up until about 1959, the image of the African continent was created by the enemies of Africa. Okay? The enemies of Africa, up until about 1959, created the image of Africa. And Africa was a land dominated by outside powers, a land dominated by the white man. And these white folks dominated Africa, and they created the image that was projected all around the world. Okay? They projected that image that Africa and the people of Africa were negative and hateful and, like I say, had bones in their nose. That was projected all around the world up until about 1959. So everywhere we went as a people, when we would come from Africa and come from our original lands, they would think that we were a savage people. Okay? Now look at it in America, in the West. The image that is portrayed of the black man and the black woman, the black man portrayed like a menace to society, menace number two, society, okay, portrayed, menace to society, portrayed boys in the hood, portrayed in juice and portrayed in all these movies of Hollywood, in the cinema, to be a killer, to be a murderer, to be a savage, to be an unthinking, unintelligent, unbrilliant, whatever you could think of, individual. The women portrayed through movies and music video, and I cannot leave out music video, portrayed in music video to be whorish and to be uncivil and to be disrespectful, to be nasty and all this that the women are portrayed like. It's the same thing that they did to Africa. It's the same exact thing. In destroying the image, the same thing is happening here in America. The image of black people is totally being destroyed and being reshaped as a negative image and a hateful image. And they made us to think that the land of Africa was a land of jungles and a land of just crazy animals and cannibals and savages. And they make us think here in America that we are nothing but a bunch of pimps and gangsters and shines and hoes and pimps and prostitutes. And that's it. That's the only image that you get from the West of the black man and black woman. So now you can understand why. When you turn the news at 6 o'clock, when you turn it on, you turn it on, you see murders and killings and death and destruction and all this craziness. You can understand why. You don't hear about those who have done wonderful projects and invented things and those who are excelling and those who are brilliant thinkers and those who are even better than the teachers of their own class. You don't hear that because it does not fit the image of Western imperialism. See, they can't criminalize you and they cannot criminalize me if we know who we are. You cannot oppress a people who know who they are. Okay? Because those who oppress know that you can't make a person hate the root without making them hate the tree. Okay? The only way that they can make you hate yourself is if you think that where you come from is criminal and savage. Alright? And if you think that where you come from is criminal and savage, hey, you're going to feel criminal and savage. When they put these projects up in the black community, okay, they put them up a lot of times like barracks or military style, and it does nothing but feed the perpetual state of ignorance, suffering, and shame and death. It's a continuous cycle, and so we go generation after generation, some of our people never even leaving these areas, just dying where they are, because it's all about making you hate the root and making us hate the root that we come from, that they say we come from, not teaching you ever that you're in a habitation of devils, okay? You can't end up hating your own. You can't hate your own and not hate yourself, okay? Since we are originally in Africa, and even the white man tells you that they know humanity and civilization originated in Africa, okay? You cannot make us hate ourselves without making us hate Africa and hate Africa without hating ourselves. They did this very scientifically. Okay, that's why I keep saying we got to scientifically organize. Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz teach you to scientifically organize because the forces that are against our people are a scientific force. Okay, so what happened? Ultimately, they ended up with 30 to 40 million black people here in America who hated everything about us that's African, that's black. We hate our African features. We hate our hair. We hate our nose. We hate our eyebrows. We hate our lips. We hate the color of our skin. That's right. We hate it all. Everything that's about us, we hate it. And they taught us to hate ourselves by scientifically maneuvering us into hating the land of our forefathers and foremothers and then having a off-centered affection or affinity for the land that we're coming up in, not understanding this is the land of captivity. So it's just like if you were a baby growing up in a jail cell. Think of it like that. Think of it like being a baby growing up in a jail cell, and you feeling good because you coming up in a cage. You wasn't born down the block. You coming up in a cage, and you feeling good about it. And as long as we hate where we come from, we hate ourselves. And as long as we hate what we look like, then hell, we hate, okay, what you know, our forefathers and foremothers look like. We even hate our own parents subconsciously because they look like us. All right? And they want to call Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz and the new Black Panther Party hate teachers. No. It was you, America, that taught us to hate ourselves. America taught black people how to hate ourselves. And you taught the whole world. You taught the whole world to hate our people. And now have the audacity to blame us and say that we're hating you. The white man has the nerve and the audacity to say that we are hating them just because we don't like the images that are being presented to us about our people, and we don't like the brutality and the murder that is happening to our people all across the country. The moment you say, I don't like the police brutality, I don't like the miseducation, I don't like the unemployment, I don't like the overcrowding of jails with black lives, the moment you say that, then this white man say you a hate teacher. The moment you say you want to learn about yourself and learn about your history and learn about your culture and learn about your Africanness, your blackness, they call you a hate teacher. When you teach a person to hate their lips, the very lips that the Creator, the Most High God, the God of our forefathers and foremothers, gave to us ourselves, in the shape of the nose that God gave us, and the texture of the hair that God gave us, and the color of the skin that God gave us, then you have committed what has to be one of the most terrible crimes of humanity any people could ever do. The moment you teach somebody to hate themselves like that, there's not too many more crimes that you can do to a person that I could think of that are worse, only a few. This is one of the worst crimes. Okay, so our skin color, our hue, became a badge of shame here in America. Right now, today, to be black and predominantly white America is seen as a badge of shame by black people. Okay, they called you three-fifths of a human being, and then they run around and try to get three-fifths of a tan or three-fourths of a tan. You know, it's a psychological chain. Our bloodline, our African bloodline, became to many of us like a psychological and mental prison, a chain in a prison, and we've become ashamed of it. Because everything that we went to read about ourselves, it made us to hate ourselves. And some of them tell us to our faces. Some of them will even tell us to our faces that they like your lips, and they like your hair, and they like your eyes, and they say it right to your face, but you have been so psychologically, and we have been so psychologically damaged that we hate ourselves. We fell in the trap. Basically, we have fallen in the trap. Nicki Minaj, she got a song say she bees in the trap. She damn right. We be in the trap. You in the trap. We trapped because Africa's in our veins. Africa's in our bloodline. Black power is in our bloodline. Revolution, real revolution, the African black revolution is in our bloodline. Our royalty of kings and queens is in our bloodline. But they've made everything that is to be a positive to be looked upon by us as a negative. It has basically imprisoned us in our own mind. Not just by making us slaves in North America, but the image that they created for our mother continent and the image that they created for our people on that continent, it's a trap. It's a prison. It's a chain. It's like the worst form of imprisonment or slavery that you can do and that has ever been invented by what they call a so-called civilized race or nation. Okay? So at this stage now, 2012, as the song say, a change has to come. A change has to come as I prepare to take your calls. A change has to come. If you go back to 1955, I believe it was, you would hear Minister Malcolm X talk about this and the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad talk about this. In 55 in Indonesia, at the Bandung Conference, what that was, for those of you who don't know what the Bandung Conference was, it was a conference of all dark-skinned people, okay? All dark-skinned people. There wasn't a white man or white woman in sight. This is 1955 in Indonesia, okay? The people of Africa and Asia, all of them came together for the first time in a long time. Didn't come together with no weapons. They didn't have no no military, no navy, no none of that. What they were talking about, they talked about the plight of the people. They talked about the plights that those of us who, you know, had melanin in our veins and Africa in our veins, they talked about what they were going through, okay? And what they found out was that they had one thing in common, okay? And talking about this habitation of devils and talking about this revolutionary Pan-Africanism that this new Black Panther Party is pushing, they had one thing in common, which was oppression, exploitation, suffering, and that we had a common oppressor and a common exploiter. Out of everything, no matter how many miles apart they were, no matter how much distance they had to cover between their continents, the black people, the brown people, the dark people, period, at the Bang Dung Conference came together for one conclusion, came together saying that they had all suffered oppression, exploitation, suffering, and that they had a common oppressor and a common exploiter. That's something to think about. And if a person came from Kenya and called his oppressor an Englishman, another came from the Congo and called his oppression a Belgian, another came from Guinea and he called his oppressor French, but when you brought the oppressors together, the thing that they all had in common, that they all were from Europe, they all were white people. And this white man or this European was oppressing all the darker peoples. And see, that's where the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz are drawing your attention to in 2012. See? Since we could see that we had common opposition, and we had opposition in common, and we had exploitation in common, sorrow, grief, pain, disgust, depression, suppression, all in common, our people began to come together, and they determined there in 1955 at the Bang Dung Conference that it was time for us as a people to forget our differences. And hell, we had differences. Just like today in 2012, we got plenty of differences. 2012, some of you on this line, you're not new Black Panthers, and you may have had some confusion about the new Black Panther Party. Some of you are Christians, and you may have had some confusion dealing with Muslims, or some of you might be Muslims, or we're Muslims and may have confusions in dealing with Christians, or you might be Buddhist and you got confusions in dealing with the Muslim and the Christian, and some of you is Hebrews and you got confusion in dealing with everybody, Christian, Muslim, whatever, or you're socialist and you got some problem dealing with whoever, some, you know, whatever. But my point is, they all came together. They all came together. No matter what background they came from, no matter what their spiritual system was, no matter what their economic situation was, in 1955 at the Bang Dung Conference, they all came together. All the darker peoples of the planet came together and were represented. And with all the differences that existed, they agreed on one thing, and the spirit of the Bang Dung Conference was, right then and from that point, was to de-emphasize the areas of difference and to emphasize the areas that we had in common. If we in the hells and smells of North America would begin to operate on that principle, as Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz has been encouraging us to do for months now and has been working an operational practice of with 9 ministries in the party, if we would begin to de-emphasize the areas of difference and emphasize the areas that we have in common, we would be free damn near overnight. Because that was the thing that Willie Lynch, going back to the Willie Lynch letter, that was the main thing that Willie Lynch broke the black family on. He broke the black family and set up the system of white supremacy at that time and imperialism at that time based upon the differences. Okay, it was the spirit of Bang Dong that fed the flames of that nationalism or that black nationalism that survived at that time. But it wasn't only there in India, it was also in Asia, and especially there in Africa. Okay, and so that spirit of black nationalism and black power, just on the basis of unity and what was exhibited at the Bang Dong Conference, spread all around the world and is right here in America today. Let no man or no woman tell you that the black man and black woman in America cannot get free and cannot be revolutionary. The spirit is here in America with so much injustice, wrong, and dissatisfaction going on in America today. The spirit is at an all-time high for the liberation of black people and the organization, more importantly, of black people and Africans here in America. It is the most important time right now to organize and to overthrow the conditions of the black community right now, the negative of our community right now. The time is now. It is right, and it will continue as harder as it gets. The spirit to resist will continue to grow, because that's the nature of this cycle. That's the nature, that it will continue to grow and to grow and to grow and to build and to build and to build until the system of exploitation and oppression is broken. Let nobody tell you that the spirit to organize is not here, that some kind of way the black power movement, as they say, the black power movement is some kind of way broken or a thing of the past. No, sir, no, ma'am. From generation after generation, we have continued to struggle. And this is not some capitalistic dream. This is not, you know, capitalism gives you an instant dream. You want it quick. And that's what hurts many of you in the black power movement. You want everything quick. You want an immediate end, you know, an overnight. I shouldn't say immediate, because we do want it immediately. But you want an overnight end to police brutality and harassment and the murder of black people. You want an overnight end to the end to biological and chemical warfare. You want an overnight end to unfair taxation and unfair criminal justice system, and an overnight end to a criminal settler colonialism and the imperialism. You want an overnight end to sexism and racism, but that's a capitalistic thinking. That is a capitalistic thinking. That's thinking like a capitalist. Instant, you know, instant oatmeal, microwave oven, Pop-Tart thinking. When revolution, as taught by Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz in the new Black Panther Party, is a process. It is a process. Complete constructive change, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad called it. It is a process that takes time. It is scientific. Point A to point B to point C to point D. See, that when you're talking Willie Lynchism, Willie Lynch talked about a process of breaking the man down, breaking the woman down, that would exceed not only his generation but generations. Some of our sight is too short. Some of our thinking and our foresight is too short. We're thinking too short. We're just thinking right now. We're thinking about it right now, but we're not thinking about our next generation and the next generation and the next generation. And I'm encouraging every revolutionary, every Pan-Africanist, every black nationalist, every Muslim, every Christian, every Hebrew, every Buddhist, every agnostic, every socialist, whatever you are out there, I'm encouraging you to think longer. And think more so down the road and even right now, because everything that we're fighting for, we may not see it in your own lifetime. Let's be, as Ernesto Che Guevara used to teach, let's be realistic. Be realistic and let's do the impossible, he would say. Everything that you're talking about and planning, you may not see it in your own lifetime or in my lifetime. Okay, but what you do is you work for it now. And we want to see it right now. Hell yeah. Hell yeah, and we fight for it like there is no tomorrow. But in the event that we do fall in the battle, because you always have casualties of war, as Dr. John Henry Clark taught, that you bury the man or you bury the woman and you continue the plan. See, there has to be a scientific plan in place, which there is. And we'll talk to you on another broadcast about the plan of the black nation and that which is being presented by the new Black Panther Party that we met in Atlanta, Georgia, and came together with the best and brightest minds from different various parts of the world, different thinkers, and put together, even in this nine ministries, the plan for the black nation and Africans in America to survive, no matter who's in charge of the new Black Panther Party, no matter who's the national spokesman, no matter who's this, we're talking about a plan to survive for black people. We'll talk to you about that on another broadcast. But we have to have a scientific plan that will outlast all of us, because many of us may not see everything that we're talking about. So we got to give it our best right now, okay? And the flames of nationalism, as I take to the phones, the flames of nationalism are burning in America. Black nationalism is burning in America. Let me put an emphasis on that. Revolutionary black nationalism is burning in America. And the independence of the black man and the black woman and the African, on the African continent, the Africans, those of us that are hearing the hells and smells of North America, it is burning here. It is like a woman who is expecting to give birth and the baby is inside kicking. See, when that child's term has come, when that child's time has come, that baby pushes and kicks and punches and moves and stretches and grows, ultimately until that which contains that child or that which contains the baby has to give it up. Hey, you have no choice. I want you all to think about that as we talk tonight. When it's your time for freedom, when it's the baby's time to go free, that baby will grow and grow and stretch until ultimately it forces its way free, and it is forced through the canal of freedom, through the black woman's canal, birth canal for freedom to go on its own into the world. And see, as we grow as a people, and as we're being awakened as a people, and as Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz organizes the black nation together through Pan-Africanism, through various factions of the world, and pulls the fractions together, it's like that baby growing. That baby is growing and gaining strength and pushing and forcing his and her way to go to freedom. And so this white man knows now that the black man and black woman desire to be free more so than any time in history. And so they gear up with their police and they gear up with their military, because they know that when the black man and black woman want to go free, there is no law that you have on the books that can contain the will of the people to be free. There is no threats you can give and no whatever you can give to the people that will stop the will of a people that yearn to be free. It doesn't even matter. See, they know this. And you can't threaten an African people that are connected to an African spirituality, because hell, we know that hell, even if you take one, you can't damn take us all. The Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad used to always say, hell, we like baby's kids, we don't die. He said we multiply. He said we multiply. And so they know what time it is. And they're keeping a healthy, or in their case, an unhealthy track on us. And they're keeping an unhealthy track on our growth. And they can see us all the time getting bigger. And so you hear them on their newscast. And they're quick to say, well, you know, that new Black Panther Party, you know, they're just like, it's just like four guys, you know. It's just four of them. I mean, geez, it's just... Oh, look, listen here, Beast. If it was only four of us, you really wouldn't have much to worry about, would you? But in this case, I can't even say that. Hell, because if it was just four of us, not that it is, plenty of us. You know, Beast, how many of these Panthers it is. You keep track on us all the time. But even if it was, four properly trained revolutionaries could do a hell of a job, and they would just continue to multiply and multiply and multiply. See, strength is not in the numbers, brothers and sisters. Strength has never been in the numbers. It's never been in the size. It's never been in that. Strength is always in the will of the people. It's in the will of the people, okay? And so an army, historically, an army of 100 can put to flight an army of 1,000. An army of 500 can put to flight an army of 5,000 if properly trained and they know the right tactics and scientific methods. Again, another topic for another day. So as I take to the phone line with this last minute, I'll take the last 10 for your calls if you have any here. We must desire freedom. in this habitation of devils. You must know, black man and black woman, where you are in relationship to your location on the planet, on the globe. You got to know you are in a habitation of devils. It is the hole for every single foul and filthy bird or military might or plane. It is that. It is the place where all of the savagery is wrapped up into one nation. Everything that the former nations of old that were that felt the wrath of God and were destroyed by the righteous men and women of God and taken out of rulership, all of that is here in the hells and smells of North America, okay? And all the doctrines that have kept us ignorant and that were used to deceive black people so that we would stay on our knees praying to ghosts and goblins that we'll never get an answer from. And we stay on our knees begging white folks for crumbs from the table. And we stay looking for all the answers outside of ourselves. All of that ideology is right here in the hills of North America and given to us on a daily and consistent basis. And so, as the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad taught, revolution is the only solution, the only avenue and the only out and the only freedom of our people is a revolutionary answer and a revolutionary solution. Revolution is it, period, point blank. Let me take the first call. I believe it's area code 502-510. You're on the air. This is Black Power Radio. We're talking about America, the mystery Babylon, the habitation of devils. Can black power survive? Black power. At area code 502-510. Your mic's open. Question or comment? Keep it moving. Area code 214-672. You're on the air talking about America, the habitation of devils. Your question, your comment, Black Power.
Brother Sean Kwali.
Yes, sir.
This is Brother Hakeem Abdul-Muhammad. Supreme
Black
Captain.
Power.
Supreme,
yes,
Captain.
Sir.
Your Supreme Captain. I'm also,
what's up, Black Man?
Brother, you told me rather yesterday, rather today, rather tomorrow. The Black Power General says OJT time, Brother Hakeem. I mean, what's that? On the job training, brother. That's what I mean.
Hey, go ahead.
Each one's going to teach somebody something else, and the rest will teach the rest. He said, Babylon,
right,
the greatest father, that has become the habitat of every fowl and caged bird. And he explained to me how America was corrupt. He said, it's the greatest squatter. It's the greatest thief. It's the greatest prowler of the deep. So don't trust these freaks. Hey, brother, I'm with you tonight. I got you. Hey,
yes, sir.
If you think I'm just going to get started, you just wait till Saturday. We got CNN coming to Dallas, Texas. We got,
yes, sir,
Al Jazeera coming to Dallas, Texas. We got BBC,
okay,
coming to Dallas, Texas. We
ain't
going to treat the freaks like they're supposed to be. The goddamn devil have no wind here in Dallas,
go
Texas.
Ahead.
This ain't his quarter. Let's hope. We ain't going to take
power.
This goddamn thing to another goddamn level. The Black Power Giver will kill you. Okay, Dr. Attorney, my name is Gula Shabar. Where is Brother Hakeem? He can say,
yes,
I got it right here. That's where I'm,
yes,
supposed to be. With Dr. Attorney, my name is Gula Shabar and Sean Kwali doing,
yes,
what,
sir,
I do. I don't know nothing else to do. Anything else will kill me. Say,
go ahead,
brother, thanks for helping me. You know, it's been 2 years ago since the assassination tip on my life.
That's
Brother
right.
Brother Sean Kwali, you were very instrumental to make sure I'm back on my post. I'm going to kick these goddamn white people ass like footballs. I'm going to run their bitch ass off the planet. I'm finna get ready to do it, and I ain't got nothing else to do besides stay true to it. I want to send the greetings to all those other pastors out there on the West Coast. The brothers who had our leader, Dr. Chairman Malik Zulu's brother up there in Compton and Washington, Brother Jim and Taco. I thank you for taking care of my brother, because I'm down there giving this goddamn white man dance from the cradle to the grave, nothing but trouble. And so I want to say to the brothers, King Samir, the brothers up there on the East Coast, hey, don't let them devils and crackers get away with nothing. Put your foot on their neck and kick them in their goddamn ass. It's
time.
Each one is going to teach more than that. Your Supreme Chapter, I'm going to stand and hold my post. I have
go
nothing
ahead.
Else to do, but our Supreme Order and general orders will be put in effect. As I'm putting in effect, I'm going to be the mentor for now. I want to be like my brother, Dr. Nathaniel, Malik Zulu Shabazz.
That's right.
They told me at the JBA, after they tried to kill him in Riverside, he said, brother, I said, who is that? He said, that's Brother Malik. He said, cover him. Now, I've been behind him since then. So if any of the shooting go down, I'm going to get on top of my brother, and I'm going to make sure nothing hit him. But if anything is running the standard, you better keep going, because we ain't got no room for no foolish no more. Black power, brother. Y'all dead black power.
Black power, black power, black power. Brother Supreme Captain Hakeem Muhammad calling in. We always appreciate your spirit, black man. We can hear it in you, brother. Stay on your post no matter what. No matter what, stay on your post. Never quit your post. Fifth general order, you quit your post only when properly relieved. Question, when are we properly relieved? When we in the grave. Let me take another call. Area code 347. 552, you're on the air. This is Black Power Radio talking about Mystery America, Mystery Babylon, the habitation of devils. Your question, your comment, Black Power.
Black Power.
Black Power.
How you doing? This is Sister Payne from New York City.
Doing
I'm just
good.
Really happy and pleased to hear your message today about
so much.
The habitation of devils, and it's true. And it's really important that our people don't look at spirituality or religion or anything like that as far as something that's given to us by the white man, but for us to look at it as a tool that we actually need for our liberation.
That's right.
And I really appreciate the fact that you are bold enough to speak on that today.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And,
absolutely.
And even in the Bible, it tells us that our captivity was going to be a long captivity. It told
mm-hmm.
us that, and it told us that he wanted us to make our own houses. He wanted us to start to do for our own self. He told us to separate ourselves from among them.
That's
before
right.
Before we take up their plague.
That's right.
And honestly, I just, you know, want to, like, just drive that home that if it was a Caucasian man that wrote the Bible or somebody else, they would have never put that in the Bible. But
right.
It's just up for us to be able to receive that, you know, and to utilize it, just like how you utilize it tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to tell you, I just want to read this right here real quick, and then I'm going to let y'all go. It's Jeremiah 29, verse 28.
Okay.
It says, for therefore he sent unto us in Babylon, which we're just talking about the mystery Babylon tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Says, for therefore he sent us into Babylon, saying, this captivity is long. Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. So he's telling us right now that we're expected to be in a long captivity. So we should, you know, our main focus is to focus on getting our own land. Our main focus should be making sure that we feed ourselves, not to be fed by our enemies.
That's
and, of
right.
course, as you said earlier, to have our own military. Because if you don't have your own military, then who's going to defend you? Who's going to defend these things that you have? So, again, Brother Sean, I thank you, and I appreciate the work that you and the entire Life Panther Party is doing, the ones that are standing strong, and just continue to do the good work and lift up the banner.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. Black Power to you, Sister Payne. Thank you for everything that you said, and even dropping that on us. That's more ammunition for what we're saying and for the case that our history is locked and trapped in all of these books and in us as a people, in our DNA, and it's got to be unlocked so we know where we're going. Sister, thank you again.
Thank you, Black Power.
Black Power. And so finally, I mean, there it is. I mean, I'm saying it's all over the place. We could do this all night. And as we go into these Wednesday broadcasts and other broadcasts, we'll be telling you not just from the Bible, from the Quran, from the Pert Imharu. We'll be giving to you from the teachings of socialism, from the teachings of communism. We'll talk to you about the pros and cons of all of this and what's defined on our 10-point program of the new Black Panther Party. And I'm telling you this, again, the spirit of nationalism is in America. Black nationalism, black power, revolutionary nationalism, all of that is here in America and being manifested in the new Black Panther Party. And so, again, for those of you who need to join on with us and you have not joined on with us and join on under the bold, charismatic, brilliant, scientific leadership of Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, you go to the website right now. That's newblackpanther.com, newblackpanther.com, or you email us at headquarters at nbpphq@yahoo.com. Get in touch with your closest or nearest representative. Get in touch with me on Facebook or some kind of way. Contact us. Get involved with this Panther. Spread this Panther in your town, in your city. Bring it to your town, and I guarantee you we will affect your area. If there's any life in us, any awake in us, and any real revolutionary spirit in us, we will affect you, affect your town, and we will stand you up and make revolutionaries out of our people. I'm your brother, your soldier in arms and comrade in battle, Sean Kwali, thanking you all for your attention and coming to us once again for Black Power Radio. And I say again, the call is freedom or death. It is free to land. It's black power for black people. It's power to the people, our people. And if black people are not free, nobody's free. Until next broadcast, Black Power.